Every so often, life can feel pretty overwhelming. This might sound crazy, but now's the time for you to laugh and write your own tragicomedy. Welcome to A Walk Within. I'm Anoop, and in today's episode, we will explore the storyteller at fault. One of the Celtic or Celtic folk and fairy tales from the book of the same name, selected and edited by Joseph Jacobs. This story invoked a strong memory of my past and made me start remembering the events vividly. It also equipped me to look at these events with a new perspective. At the time when Dua de Danann held the sovereignty of Ireland, there reigned in Leinster a king who was remarkably fond of hearing stories. Like the other princes and chieftains of the island, he had a favorite storyteller who held a large estate from His Majesty on a condition of telling him a new story every night of his life before he went to sleep. Many indeed were the stories he knew, so that he had already reached a good old age without failing even for a single night in his task. And such was the skill he displayed that whatever cares of the state or other annoyances might prey upon the monarch's mind, his storyteller was sure to send him to sleep. One morning, the storyteller arose early and, as his custom was, strolled out into his garden, turning over in his mind incidents which he might weave into a story for the king at night. But this morning, he found himself quite at fault. After pacing his whole domain, he returned to his house without being able to think of anything new or strange. He found no difficulty in "There was once a king who had three sons," or "One day, the king of all Ireland." But he could not get further than that. At length, he went in to breakfast and found his wife much perplexed at his delay.
"Why don't you come to breakfast, my dear?"
"I have no mind to eat anything. Long as I have been in the service of the king of Leinster, I never sat down to breakfast without having a new story ready for the evening. But this morning, my mind is quite shut up, and I don't know what to do. I might as well lie down and die at once. I'll be disgraced forever this evening when the king calls for his storyteller." Just at this moment, the lady looked out of the window.
"Do you see that black thing at the end of the field?"
"I do." They drew nigh and saw a miserable-looking old man lying on the ground with a wooden leg. "Who are you, my good man?" asked the storyteller.
"Oh, then, 'tis little matter who I am. I'm a poor, old, lame, decrepit, miserable creature sitting down here to rest a while."
"And what are you doing with that box and dice I see in your hand?"
"I'm waiting here to see if anyone will play a game with me."
"Play with you? Why, what has a poor old man like you to play for?"
"I have 100 pieces of gold in this leathern purse."
"You may as well play with him, and perhaps you'll have something to tell the king in the evening."
A smooth stone was placed between them, and upon it they cast their throws. It was but a little while the storyteller lost every penny of his money. "Much good may it do you, friend. What better hap could I look for, fool that I am?"
"Will you play again?"
"Don't be talking, man. You have all my money."
"Haven't you chariot and horses and hounds?"
Well, what of them?
I'll stake all the money I have against them.
Nonsense, man. Do you think for all the money in Ireland, I'd run the risk of seeing my lady walk home on foot?
Maybe you'd win.
Maybe I wouldn't.
Play with him, husband. I don't mind walking if you do, love.
I never refused you before, and I won't do so now, said the storyteller and sat down. And in one throw, he lost horses, hounds, and chariot.
Will you play again?
Are you making game of me, man? What else I have to stake?
I'll stake all my winnings against your wife.
The storyteller turned away in silence, but his wife stopped him.
Accept his offer. This is the third time, and who knows what luck you may have? You'll surely win now.
They played again, and the storyteller lost. No sooner had he done so than, to his sorrow and surprise, his wife went and sat down near the ugly old beggar. Is that the way you are leaving me? Said the storyteller.
Sure. I was warned. You would not cheat the poor man, would you?
Have you any more to stake?
You know very well I have not.
I'll stake the whole now, wife and all, against your own self.
Again they played, and again the storyteller lost. Well, here I am. What do you want with me?
I'll soon let you know.
And he took from his pocket a long cord and a wand.
Now, what kind of animal would you rather be? A deer, a fox, or a hare? You have your choices now, but you may not have it later.
To make a long story short, the storyteller made his choice of a hare. The old man threw the cord round him, struck him with the wand, and lo, a long-eared, frisking hare was skipping and jumping on the green. But it wasn't for long. Who but his wife called the hounds and set them on him. The hare fled, the dogs followed. Round the field ran a high wall, so the hare couldn't get out, and mightily diverted were beggar and lady to see him twist and double. In vain, he did take refuge with his wife. She kicked him back again to the hounds, until at length the beggar stopped the hounds, and with a stroke of the wand, panting and breathless, the storyteller stood before them again.
And how did you like the sport?
It might be sport to others. For my part, I could well put up with the loss of it. Would it be asking too much to know who you are at all, or where you come from, or why you take a pleasure in plaguing a poor old man like me?
Oh, I'm an odd kind of good-for-little fellow, one day poor, another day rich. But if you wish to know more about me or my habits, come with me, and perhaps I may show you more.
I'm not my own master to go or stay, said the storyteller with a sigh. This is the part where the beggar man takes the storyteller on an adventure. They are both back from the adventure. The beggar man said,
Now I'll torment you no longer. There is your carriage and your horses and your money and your wife. Do what you please with them.
For my carriage and my horses and my hounds, I thank you. But my wife and my money you may keep, said the storyteller.
No, I want neither. And as for your wife, don't think ill of her for what she did. She couldn't help it.
Not help it? Not help kicking me into the mouth of my own hounds? Not help casting me off for the sake of a beggarly old man?
I'm not as beggarly or as old as you think. I am Angus of the Bruff. Many a good turn you've done me with the King of Leinster. This morning, my magic told me the difficulty you were in, and I made up my mind to get you out of it. As for your wife there, the power that changed your body changed her mind. Forget and forgive as man and wife should do. And now you have a story for the king of Leinster when he calls for one.
And with that, he disappeared. It's true enough, he now had a story fit for a king. From first to last, he told all that had befallen him. So long and loud laughed the king that he couldn't go to sleep at all. And he told the storyteller never to trouble for fresh stories. But every night, as long as he lived, he listened again and he laughed afresh at the tale of the lank, grey beggarman. I like to believe that our storyteller himself told this version of the story to the king, as he found the events to be more impactful as some type of tragicomedy. The term magicomedy can describe either a tragic play which contains enough comic elements to lighten the overall mood. While mostly used in the fictional works, tragicomedy has found its place in the non-fiction work as well. The most famous tragicomedy writer is Shakespeare, whose The Merchant of Venice is a prime example of tragicomedy. In her post, Stacey Brookman writes, "Finding absurdity, laughing at ourselves as well as other characters, and in the end, learning a lesson. This way, you can write your own tragicomedy." With that said, let's hear the vivid memory that I referenced in the beginning. It was April or May of 2001. Some of my friends and I decided to go North India on a pilgrimage to the shrine of goddess Vaishno Devi in the Indian state of Jammu and Kashmir. While none of us were heavily religious or were seeking answers in spirituality, the thought of traveling with friends and going to a far-off place was the main driver for us. The plan started with around 10 to 15 participants, but only 4 showed up on the day of travel. The young bodies and minds and its carelessness allowed us to embark on this journey rather than cancel it. We had our reserved seats and were not concerned about our return reservation. Maybe we thought, we are too young to have a concrete plan or travel. It's time to explore. After a 28-hour long, exciting, yet uneventful train ride, at around 4 p.m., we've reached Katra, the town at the foothills of Trikuta Mountains, where the holy shrine is located, and we began the 12 kilometers or 7.5 miles climb. Now, let me remind you, these are young 20-something boys leaving their home region on their own for the first time for a journey this far. Knowing what we knew at that time, we packed light with t-shirts, shorts, as we anticipated the climb to be more in line with adventurous trails and hiking in the tropical. It was not. By the time we've reached the last leg of our climb, we were cold, tired, and half alive. Never did we go on a hike in our life, nor were we mentally and physically prepared for the temperatures. The decision to pack light and do the climb in t-shirts and shorts remains probably the first blunders of our collective life. As we've reached the entrance gate of the shrine by midnight, we were staring at a long queue, which was not unusual at that time. And now we had to wait for a few hours to enter the shrine. As you can imagine, it was not an ideal situation to be in. We were shivering uncontrollably and continued to shuffle from one place to another to remain active in the hopes of avoiding a freezing cold death. One of the devotees there sensed, or should I say saw, our misery and suggested we get some blankets from a nearby sanctuary. One of the friends, who for still unknown reasons remained active, decided to give it a try and left for the blankets, leaving the three behind, who started brainstorming whose idea was it to pack light, and predictively concluded to blame someone who decided to bail on the trip at the last time. Some more late night chilly hours went by as slow as snail, and our friend arrived with four blankets. As it usually happens at any religious site or pilgrimage, I was convinced of witnessing a true divine intervention. As we started wrapping ourselves on the divine blankets and futile efforts to create a vacuum seal from external weather, we heard the announcement that our number in the queue is being called, and it's finally time for us to enter the shrine. The disappointment lasted for a full 5 minutes and followed by a frantic run to return the blankets, run the entire queue, and reach the entrance. We are now in. By early morning, we were out of the shrine. The sun was coming up and we began our descent. By late morning, we've reached our hotel and slept immediately. We woke up in the evening and ventured out for some food. We all had a good dinner and cribbed, laughed, and discussed the last 24 hours. It was good times, and our collective mood was upbeat, for we have completed the toughest part of the journey. Or so we thought. As you guessed, it's not over. You can listen to the entire memory in the upcoming extra round bonus content that I will be releasing shortly. In the end, studies have shown that laughing strengthens the immune system, and the sense of humor positively impacts your health, mood, social life, and those around you. If we can find laughter in our past failings, ignorance, and innocence, it is an indication of our growth. We all have or had our own set of hardships in life. We can't laugh our troubles away, but a good laugh will allow us, or maybe people around us, to forget about life challenges for a little while. That's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening, and I hope you had as much fun listening to it as I had making it. The website for A Walk Within is up, where you can subscribe to get the latest updates, including when the bonus content is going to be released. Please rate us on Apple Podcast and follow this podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and especially YouTube. I have some really exciting stuff planned for it. You can find the links to all in the description. Before you go, I wanted to thank Josh from All the People You Should Know podcast for his valuable feedback. I will post a link to his wonderful history-driven podcast. You should definitely check it out. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you.